Greg Mackling is off this week. Kathy Kennedy is in. KK joining us this week on The Start. And we got off to a wild start this week with the Winnipeg Jets winning a wild gunslinger of a first game in the Stanley Cup playoffs, a.k.a., as I like to lovingly and jokingly call it, the North American Ice Hockey League Championships. And on the Jets front, we were joined by Jim Toth to talk about what happened. Kurt Kielbach, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets 1.0, also joined us in studio. And Richard Kluche spoke with the ice maker for the Winnipeg Jets, and we learned something really interesting about the pucks. I'm Brett McGarry alongside Kathy Kennedy. This week we are McGarry and Kennedy, and you are listening to the Monday, April 22nd podcast for The Start. Good Monday morning. Greg Mackling is off this week, and in for Mr. Mackling is the one, the only, KK, Kathy Kennedy.
Ouch. That's what I got for you, McGarry. Ouch.
That's how it feels waking up today?
It does. You know, especially after the game last night, right? And which, you know, I had the best of intentions to go to bed early, and well, you know how that went.
Yeah. Well, and it was clearly quite the affair. We'll have the sounds of the game at 6:35 with that 7-6 finish. I was debating staying up to watch the whole game because with the 6 p.m. start, I thought maybe, but I've been really trying to be in bed by 8.
Right.
On weeknights now. So when the second period ended, I just said, nope. I turned off the TV, took my contacts out, brushed my teeth, crawled into bed at 7:53.
Wow.
Thinking, okay, well, this is good. I was asleep within minutes. I'm positive I was out by 8 p.m. And then I woke up at 10:57 after what was an intense sleep. I was having some crazy dreams. Woke up and it's 10:57. Like, oh no. This is not good. And the rest of the way, I just sort of dozed, if that. I'm not sure that I got any sleep after that.
Oh.
So, yeah. But at least I was able to wake up at 10:57 and check to see that the Jets had won.
Yeah. So. That's a happy wake up.
Yeah.
Right? Definitely.
But it was quite the game.
It was quite the game. And you know what? So the last 2 minutes, I'm sure like every other Winnipegger this morning, you know, such a nail biter. You kept thinking, are they going to do it? Is Colorado going to come back? Are they going to tie this thing? And so you have so much energy in that last 2 minutes that the game ended at 8:45. I didn't crawl into bed till after 10 because I was just, you know, wired.
Wound up.
Yeah. Which, I'm sure there are a lot of sleepy Winnipeggers this morning.
For sure, including our very own Jay Richardson, who works down the hall at Power 97, Power Mornings with Jay and Vicky, because he is the in-arena PA voice. He's the big booming voice.
He is.
And I saw in his Instagram story that I'm sure he's going to be a little tired.
Well, I did see him with an extra large coffee this morning, which I'm sure he's going to need.
Yes, for sure. And we've got lots to discuss today. As mentioned, sounds of the game, 6:35, 7:05. Richard Kluche is going to join us. He's working on a series of Jets-related stories. And today, we're going to hear what he learned from the ice maker at the Winnipeg
That's
Jets.
Cool.
It is. You know, a couple of years ago, some of us had the opportunity to take a tour of the arena. They showed us the new laser displays, projection thing that they can do with the ice. But they also took us down to the ice and we spoke to the ice maker about the process of like, how do you do it? And it was really cool.
So we're going to learn about it just after 7. And I'm just wondering, does he have a jacket that says, you know, ice maker?
The Iceman cometh.
You're right.
And then Jim, we'll have our Monday Jets report at 7:55 with Kelly Moore. Jim Toth joins us at 8:35 for our Monday sports chat. And then at 9:35, who's going to be in studio
Woo-hoo!
With us?
It is a voice that many of you will recognize. Essenza with the wraparound. I'm sorry, that's a really feeble attempt at Kurt Kielbach. He's going to be joining us in studio at 9:35.
Excellent. That's fantastic. And we should also give you a heads up that at 7:15, we are going to launch a new contest called Playoff Payoff. Yes. Awesome prize up for grabs here. A 65-inch Sony 4K Ultra HD Smart Google TV from our friends at Visions Electronics. So it's going to be a text to win, text the code word to qualify, because we're going to pick the winner next week. But that's an awesome prize.
Well, and we should put the caveat in there that whoever wins the TV, Brett and I will be coming to your house to watch the rest of the playoffs. By the way.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, ever since I jumped to 65-inch a couple of years ago.
Did you?
Yeah. It was sort of in the middle of the pandemic, I think, and okay. I was able to take advantage of a deal at the electronics store where I bought it, and yeah, I've always wanted a bigger TV, so the fact that I was able to do it, you know, that I was lucky enough to be able to find one. And the price, like, I can't get over the prices on these things. Yeah. Like, when I bought, when we got our first HD TV,
yep.
It's a 42-inch LG LCD TV, and that was $1,100, I think.
Yep. I bought one 40-inch at the Bay for $1,000.
And this 65-inch that I got, and it's not top of the line, but it's not it's kind of middle of the pack, and it was $1,900, I think.
Wow.
So then, and my understanding is they've gotten even cheaper in the last couple of years. But regardless of whether or not this is cheap, this is an amazing prize.
It is indeed.
It'll change your life, and it'll actually, it really will. I was scared at first that it was too much, that it was too big for my space.
Right. And?
Eventually I got used to it, but it took about a month. Because it was just like, oh my gosh, this is so much TV. And now I find myself thinking, I should have gone 70. I should have gone 75.
Go big or go home, Brett.
So we'll announce that winner, or that first code word, just after 7:15. And it's Earth Day today.
Yes, it is indeed. And we are going to talk a little bit about recycling your electronics on this Earth Day, which is a so important thing to do. So if you're getting rid of your 65-inch and you're buying a new 70, we'll tell you what to do with it.
So we'll do that at 7:35. Because the process of being able to recycle your electronics has gotten a lot easier over the years. But I have some questions, like what counts? You know, like I don't know if everybody has this, but I've got a box that's just full of cables and wires.
Yes.
That I have no idea what they're for.
Yes.
Would this count in recycling of electronics, or should I just chuck them in the trash? Last night, and KK, you weren't sure if you're going to stay up and watch the game, and I'm sort of glad I went to bed after the second, because that third period would have probably given me a heart attack.
Yeah, would have.
But it worked out okay for the Jets. Here are your sounds of the game.
Puck is dropped, and it's showtime from downtown Winnipeg. He is gobbled up again by Pionk to the near side. For Vilardi, too far for him. Back the other way. Nichushkin on a partial line change for Winnipeg. Shoots and scores. Valeri Nichushkin buried at home on the far side on Hellebuck. And a partial change by the Winnipeg Jets. And Colorado opens up the scoring. It's 1-0 for the Avs. Scheifele's there to rim it back toward the line. Some zone time for Winnipeg to the near side for Kyle Connor. Catches at the high slot. Dropped it for Morris. He's shooting. Score! I don't think it was touched. Josh Morrissey from the point. With a wrist shot that beats Georgiev. And we are tied at one. Dumped in by Iafallo. After it goes, Georgiev gave it away out in front of shot. They score! Vladislav Namestnikov off Bellis will slap it past Georgiev. And Winnipeg takes a 2-1 lead.
And Namestnikov just absolutely rips this thing into the top corner. And Winnipeg's ahead 2-1.
Connor darts into where the high slot. Pushed it back there for Pionk. Pionk will guide it back into where the corner. After it goes Connor. He'll leave it now for Vilardi. Back on in front of shot. They score! Mark Scheifele standing there. Took a perfect pass from Gabriel Vilardi. And we're tied at 3. And Dillon will send it out towards center ice. Niederreiter had a stick broken. It's a 2-on-1. Lowry moving in. Shoots. Score! Adam Lowry with a huge goal. and Winnipeg regains a one-goal lead. It's 4-3 for the Jets. And then a bit of a cross-check. Lowry now toward the front of the net. Shoots and scores! No, they waved it off. They waved it off, and it sent the distance. They'll have a look at this one. It's an icing call against Colorado.
I think it's in. It's really close. I think it's in.
It's got to be in.
After reviewing the play at 16:29, the puck completely crossed the goal line.
That's why you go with your gut reaction, right?
5-3 Winnipeg. Winnipeg buzzing around, back in behind the net. Shifley, up top Morrissey. Far side, Connor shoots, score! Kyle Connor with an absolute bomb! It's a power play goal! And Winnipeg has their largest lead of the night. It's 6-3 for the Jets. Grabbed by Shifley, back in and back in behind the net. From Velarde out in front for Connor's shot. He scores! Kyle Connor with his second of the night. And there's Velarde and Shifley again. That line has been dynamite. And Winnipeg regains a three-goal lead. It's 7-4 for the Jets. 40 seconds left in the third period. Lead pass McCarr. Forced into one of the middle. McKinnon will backhand it in. Stopped by Hellebuck. Slapped around the boards by Pion. Not out though. It stays inside the zone. Shot came in. Stopped. Rebound. It's popping around. They score. Casey Middlestad at the side of the net, I think, got last touch on it. It's a one-goal hockey game with 27 seconds remaining in the third period. And it bounced over the stick of Middlestad all the way down. That'll do it. The Winnipeg Jets will win game one tonight. In a shootout, basically. It was almost the first to 10. But the final score is the Winnipeg Jets 7, the Colorado Avalanche 6. And game one goes indeed to the hometown team. Game two coming up on Tuesday night at 8:30 Central.
Jets win 7-6 in a nail-biter gunslinger. Normally the sounds of the game, we keep it to 2 minutes or less, but that was almost 4 minutes. Because there was just so much going on, and I don't know if you noticed, there was one point in the first period where I was so confused. They went to commercial, and the Jets were leading 2-1.
Yep.
And they come back, and the score on the screen says the Jets are now leading 3-2. And I'm thinking, were two goals scored during this commercial break?
Well, and at one point, they actually had 3-3 up.
Yeah.
Before it was 3-3. And here I'm thinking, okay, is this like, are they visualizing this? Are they, because within a minute later, it was 3-3.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, when the Avalanche scored to tie at 2, it jumped to 3-3. But then the announcers said the game is now tied at 2. So I thought, okay, well, somebody just messed up with the scoreboard. But I thought I was losing my mind. And
you weren't
on
alone.
The subject of losing my mind, yesterday I heard the sound and thought, what is this? You were able to see them from your balcony,
yeah,
right?
I was.
The fighter jets.
But they were loud, Brett.
Oh.
Wow, were they loud? I mean, it must have scared more than a few people if you weren't aware that they were going to do a flyover.
Yeah, I was. I had forgotten about that. So I'm sitting on my couch, and then I just suddenly hear this loud rumble, and it just kept getting louder and louder. I'm like, what is going on? And it didn't take
long.
It's
the end of the world.
But that's kind of what it sounded like.
Yeah.
It did, and eventually, as the sounds already started to diminish, I thought, oh, I bet you the fighter jets are... So I poked my head out the window to see if I could see anything. No. And then when I realized it's the fighter jets, I'm like, oh, geez, I got to go make sure I'm in front of the TV. And sure enough, like 3 seconds later, they were already flying over Canada Life Center.
Yeah, they were unbelievably fast and loud. But it was great to see. And here's hoping we get a few more flyovers.
And if you went to the whiteout party, by the way, let us know how it was for you, because we gave away a whole bunch of 4-packs to the Whiteout Party last week on The Start and on Connecting Winnipeg with Hal and on the Jim Toth Show and on the news with Rich and Julie. And our question of the day on Friday for Mr. Furness, don't call them first, you'll see why. Call Mr. Furness at 204-832-6243 and we'll have to update this question soon. How will you be taking in the Jets game on Sunday? 61% said watching or listening at home. 29% said, and we actually only included this one as a joke, because Greg mentioned it, but I thought, no, that's a valid answer. 29% said watching the game alone. Leave me alone. 4% said going out with friends to watch it. 3% going to the game. 3% Whiteout Party. So here's the headline. I saw this on Instagram, on the Instantgram, and if you want to learn more about this, you can read this at a number of sites. I've currently got The Independent open here. British passengers on Turkey flight drink the plane dry in under half an hour. The passengers were described as hedonistic by the airline. It was a four-hour flight, and they ripped through the plane's entire alcohol supply in 25 minutes. The incident happened during a recent Sun Express flight, with U.S. German chief executive Max Konatsky describing Brits as more high-spend, more hedonistic than travelers from other countries. And they're not entirely sure what was going on here, but they think that this flight was this particular flight was aimed at golfers. So I don't know. There you go. Bunch of British golfers got drunk in 25 minutes.
I don't mean to generalize, but when I was in Europe and you saw some people usually out of control while you're walking around late at night, as you approached, usually you heard a specific accent speaking the English language, the Queen's English, or now the King's English.
Yeah.
It was almost every single time, if there was people out of control, they were usually of the English folk.
All right. So it made me laugh, and it just made me start thinking about, like, have you ever run out of something? Have you ever hosted a party and run out of something? Or have you been to a party and they ran out of something fairly crucial, fairly early? Or maybe you went to a wedding social. Like, I went to a social years ago in St. Pierre-Jolie, and by 11 p.m., all they had left was gin for alcohol. Like, everything was gone. So I don't know if that's just because people were drinking a ton or if they just didn't. And they didn't have enough.
You can return it. Like, you get more and then you return it if you don't.
Yeah.
That's what you do. So
204-780-6868. Tell us about running out of stuff. Or maybe it's just like you ran out of a crucial supply at home at the worst possible time, in the middle of cooking a big meal for a gathering, and you realize, oh shoot, I'm out of this ingredient and I need that ingredient right now. I don't cook, so I don't have that problem. But
that's why things like Instacart were invented, right?
Yes.
You know? But listen, you were talking about ice earlier,
yeah,
about having friends over and running out of ice. And I did the same. I was having a Romoli party. We ran out of ice. So what do? You go to the balcony, you grab some snow.
Did it work?
You know, it worked at about midnight. Now, I'm telling you, if it was 8 in the morning, it probably would have been a different story. Yeah. But at midnight, it was working just fine.
Cam, what about you?
You ever been to a party where you run out of food very quickly?
Sure.
Yeah.
I went to, when I was working in Calgary, I was invited over to a coworker's place. And he said, yeah, we'll have food. Yeah, no worries. And it's like, is that a potluck? I even asked him, is there a potluck? Do I bring something? And he goes, no, it's okay. I got that taken care of. And so, okay. I ended up bringing a couple bags of chips just to be a good party attendee. So when I showed up, there was probably 16, 17 people there, all coworkers. And this guy who was like infamously cheap, and as I discovered over and over, but this one was, he had made one casserole dish worth of lasagna, and that went very, very quickly. By the time I had got there, there was nothing left, and everybody, it was the talk of the radio station for the next week about how there was no food. It's like, who invites people over and doesn't have any food?
There was once upon a time, I can't remember what the occasion was, but the company ordered pizza for us here at the station. This was back when we were still at Polo Park. And on this particular day, it was Santa Lucia.
Yep.
So the enthusiasm that was shown to the pizza was a bit more voracious than usual because, right? Like, ooh, this is the good stuff. And not everybody got some. I think some people maybe took a little too much. And there are others who just didn't get any. Like 17 pizzas and it was all gone. And there were some people who were like ready to burn down the building.
Okay, but listen.
Didn't get any pizza.
You know, you snooze, you lose. If the email comes out, okay, saying lunch is at 11:30 and you show up at 1:15, I'm sorry, you're SOL. Like, I'm going to grab my third piece of pizza, okay?
Sarah McCarthy, what about you?
Well, mine's not as fun as these. It was more of a cooking situation, but it was where, like, dealing with raw meat, and then you need to clean up and disinfect the sink and whatnot. I go and grab my little Lysol thing, and there's literally, like, one spray left. Oh. So I had to run out. I couldn't just leave that overnight or anything.
No.
And, like, you know, I live in an apartment. I don't have an endless stock of all these household items. So I run out of things quite frequently, like coffee, everything. But yeah, that was a situation.
You can never run out of coffee.
No. I almost ran out of toilet paper last week.
Really?
it was touch and go.
It was grab the Kleenex box for a while there, McGarry.
It was three or four showers day.
I did almost ran out. There was an immediate trip to the store at one point. Forte, what about you?
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I'm at. Being in the shower and you reach down for the bar of soap and it's the tiniest little sliver that you're not going to be able to clean yourself with. And you think you have soap in the cupboard and you're dripping, you're wet, and you're looking for the soap and you're out of soap. So what do? You grab the hand soap.
Oh, hey, that's smart.
That's good.
It was either the hand soap or the Dawn dish soap.
Mm-hmm. And
don't clean birds with that. If it's good enough for the birds, it's good enough for me.
That's true.
It's hard to argue.
And with the KK, you mentioned the ice situation. I had some friends over, a group of friends. We call ourselves the Transcona Rum Council. So there's five of us. And at the time, I had four ice trays in my apartment, which I already thought was maybe excessive for one person, but I figured it would be no problem for the five of us. But it was the same kind of situation because all of us were drinking rum and coke that night. The ice trays were empty within 30 minutes. I'm like, oh my gosh. So the next time I had them over, I went overboard. I have seven ice trays and I had made a big giant bowl of ice before that and then refilled the ice trays and was monitoring them every 10 minutes to make like, no way we're running out of ice this time. Cause that's the worst. You go to a friend's place and you have a mixed drink and they don't have ice.
But listen, if they have a balcony and it's winter time,
there's your solution.
There's your solution.
It is McGarry and Kennedy. KK is in for Greg Mackling this week. In our next segment, we are going to introduce you to Playoff Payoff, a contest where you can win a 65-inch Sony 4K TV from Visions Electronics. Stand by for those details. But right now, KK, we got to talk about the continuation of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, we do indeed. Our preparation's already underway for game two. We're just barely getting over game one. Game two of the Stanley Cup playoffs at Canada Life Center. And our colleague from the news, Richard Kluche, is in studio joining us now. Mm-hmm. You had a chance to hang out with people that make the games go. But before we get into that, you were actually at the game last night.
Yeah, it was the track meet, the 7-6, the emotional roller coaster. You know what, you two? I have found a way to preserve the pipes because you can't help but scream at nights like that.
Yeah.
And so I find myself mouthing screams.
Really?
Just in case, right? Just, right?
Well, you got to do what you got to do, but you're right. By the end of the night, you'd be hoarse.
If it was, you know, a matter of, you know, a decibel record or something like that, maybe I would sacrifice.
Right.
But, you know, my voice is not going to make a difference in that place. That madhouse called Canada Life Center. Wow.
Okay, but what about your hearing?
Hearing is fine. There was a time where I still have them in the pocket, plugs just in case.
Really?
Yes. But I think there's a difference between upper bowl and lower bowl. I'm fortunate enough to be in the lower bowl, kind of surrounded with, it doesn't matter. I know. It's just, it's just one big
party
outside and inside, and nothing like it that I have seen. And certainly, very reminiscent to 2018. But, you know, it's interesting because there are preparations going on right now. The Zambonis are on the ice early in the morning. And Doug Neubauer, who's director of engineering and ice operations at True North Sports and Entertainment, he's been with the organization since 2010 and downtown since August of 2016 at Canada Life Center. I learned a lot in our chat, in our little tour of the ice plant with him. In Canada, where we since 1977 have been clearly on the metric system,
yep,
they still work in Fahrenheit.
Really?
And that's because it's because everything comes down from the NHL in New York. And we began our conversation about the pucks. Yes, high-tech pucks.
Kind of like the Coors Light can on how the mountains change blue. Well, on there, on the NHL logo, it will change purple. So when it's frozen, it's purple, and then as it starts warming up, it'll fade away to that.
So the NHL puck is really a mood puck?
Yes.
I didn't know that!
Yes. So we have a target of 14 Fahrenheit, 18 Fahrenheit in the puck freezer. So that's why the pucks are changed out. The puck can be too cold as well. So if optimally you want to try and get your ice condition as close to the puck temperature, so there's less bouncing, whether it's one way or the other. So if you can kind of do that, your snow also too, if it starts condensing and becoming wet, the snow load, the puck might bounce a little bit more that way.
I want one of these pucks now.
Right?
Like
Moon pucks.
I want one of these pucks so I can just put it in the freezer and watch it turn various colors.
I never knew that, Rich. And I bet you a lot of Winnipeggers did not know that either.
So yeah. I went around here and asked even the sports guys about this. And only one of the sports guys knew this. Now, Kelly wasn't here at the time. Which one of our sports guys knew this? Do you take a guess? No. No clue.
Poitras?
No. Skylar Peters.
Skylar.
Oh, okay, of course.
Skylar Peters.
Okay.
Yeah. So
smart kid.
And today, you'd rather have the conditions from yesterday than today because hot and sunny are better than rainy days. But for the playoffs, they bring in extra equipment to help cool the building just in case. Because if we're doing this right through May and June,
right,
it's going to be really hot out there. But sunny and hot, better than rainy.
We deal a lot in Fahrenheit when we do all our readings. So we will, you know, try and target 53, you know, 12 Celsius roughly, you know, to 55, 52 Fahrenheit. So, you know, we'll make those little adjustments.
What's the temperature difference between an hour and a half pregame to game time? I would say it fluctuates quite significantly.
It does. So what we'll do as we get closer to puck drop, we will be somewhere targeting around, well, we'll go with Fahrenheit here, we'll around 58 Fahrenheit in the bowl, roughly around puck drop. And then as our patrons load into the bowl, there are heaters, and that's what happens. They come in, and you know, we'll have a look around if we're in the winter season, in the heating season. Look for them to get into the bowl and then start fine-tuning our mechanical. You know, NHL does have guidelines. We have to be between 60 Fahrenheit and 64 Fahrenheit for the duration of the game. So we have to try and maintain those conditions while we're also trying to maintain our relative humidity in the bowl as well. So they have guidelines for that, and you have to be between 40% and 44%. And as the building warms up, we'll start working our ice plant and providing more cooling to the rink, and that'll be based off. And Zamboni's coming off right now from prepping for the day. And what we'll end up doing is managing. We'll call it the teeter-totter effect, right? As the building heats up, we'll lower the ice plant, or vice versa. When there's less people in here, the ice plant may be a degree higher on the surface temperature. Playoffs, we'll bring in portable HVAC. So this year we have 4 40-ton air conditioning chillers and 2 desiccant gas-fired dehumidifiers. They're staged where each desiccant dehumidifier will have pre-cooling and post-cooling, so on each set of dehumidification, so that's why we have 4.
You know what? Next time I have any problems at home, I'm bringing this guy in with airing and cooling.
This is great stuff, Rich. Thanks. Hey. The mood puck, that's pretty cool, and you're going to be bringing us more stories from the Jets through the week?
Hopefully the next 2 months.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, 2 months from now, I'm going to be, you know, down to somebody in the corner doing really nothing, but here you go. Here's open.
Richard Kluche is co-host of the news, weekdays from 3 until 6 alongside Julie Buckingham. It is McGarry and Kennedy. Kathy Kennedy in for Greg Mackling this week. A heads up that our first playoff payoff qualifier is Barb Sheldon. She was the 10th person through with our code word, and you can now stop texting on our show. Our code word was Jets, and like basically, I think moving forward, just so you know, like you've got to be texting us within 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got hundreds of texts. But Barb was lucky number 10. So your next chance to qualify for the playoff payoff, 65-inch Sony 4K Ultra HD Smart Google TV from Visions Electronics will be on Connecting Winnipeg with Hal Anderson. He's got another code word for you to text to 204-780-6868. Also, before we talk Earth Day, KK, what does Perry have to say?
Well, you know, it's interesting. People who went to the whiteout party last night, you know, different experiences. And Perry says, Brett and KK, I was at the game last night. It was a normal whiteout celebration. Yes, it may not be for everyone, but didn't see anything out of the normal. And I haven't missed a whiteout Jets 2.0 party. Go Jets, go.
Excellent. So you can continue to weigh in at our text line, because we're just getting some varying feedback on the experiences that were had last night. Some fun, some great, some not so fun or not so great. So we'd love to hear from you because I was, you know, at home trying to be a good boy, went to bed after the second period. Still woke up at 11 p.m. and the rest of my night was awful. So, LOL. Should have just stayed up and watched the game.
Exactly. I was going to say.
Yeah. But today is Earth Day.
Yeah.
And one of the important things that we'll be I'm sure we'll be doing a lot of important discussions through the day. At 8 o'clock, we're going to be speaking with Earth Day Canada and about their theme, Let's Picture a Better Planet. And one of the ways we can do that, KK, is by recycling our electronics.
Well, yeah, Dennis Neufeld is joining us now. He is the program director for EPRA Manitoba. Good morning, Dennis. How are you, sir? Happy Monday.
I'm great. Happy Earth Day to you too.
So let's talk about our recycling when it comes to electronics. Because you know what, Dennis? Even though we've been doing this for years now, I think people still get confused about what is recyclable and what is not.
Yeah, so people think of us as TVs and computers only, but there's so much more than that. We've got things like any audio-visual, so stereo equipment, even speakers, clock radios, handhelds, so cell phones, home phones, old VHS machines. But the easiest place to find out what we take back is on our website, which is recyclemyelectronics.ca.
What about, I was talking earlier with KK about, I don't know if this is common in every household, but I've got a box that's full of old wires and cables, and I couldn't even tell you what half of them are for now, because I've maybe owned them for 30 years. Would that be counted as recycling electronics?
Absolutely. So we always say if it was a handheld item, it's going to have a charger, might even have a car charger. We take all those things, and everybody's got that junk drawer full of cabling. So yeah, please don't throw that out, because there's good material in there, and we're going to recycle that as well.
Dennis, what about personal information? You know, a lot of people still have concerns that, okay, I want to recycle my laptop or my iPad, but what if there is personal information on there?
Yeah, I think that is probably the number one reason why people are hesitant about recycling their electronics. And they need to be aware that it is safe with us. So when you drop off your items to one of our collection depots, it's held there for a really short time. Nobody's allowed to rummage through and take what the person before them brought. It's held securely. Then it goes to our processing plant, and we physically break down the material to recapture what's inside of there. And when we break it down, we destroy all the information that's on there. So your personal information is safe with us.
Dennis, why is it important to recycle our electronics rather than just chucking them in the trash?
Yeah, there's two reasons for it. First of all, there are some bad things inside electronics, like the old CRT TVs. They have the leaded glass. There's mercury tubes in the flat screen panel. So we need to make sure that if you throw it in the garbage, it's going to end up in the landfill. It's going to get crushed. It's going to get broken. And that bad material is going to leach into the ground, pollute the water table. So we need to keep it out of the landfill. But now on the other side, there's really good stuff in electronics. So when we do the breaking down of the material, we're going to capture the steel, the aluminum, the brass, and we're going to put all that back into the manufacturing process. We don't need to mine new materials. We've got this material. So it is really a no-brainer that we should be reusing this stuff.
Well, and that was going to be my next question is, you know, where do these products go? You know, how do they get repurposed?
Yeah, so when we do the breaking down of the materials, what we end up with is pure aluminum and just brass and copper, and that gets put right back in. So it goes back into the manufacturing process. So it likely isn't going to come back as new electronics, but it's going to come back as other materials, because whatever is using brass and steel and aluminum, that's where our stuff is going to.
Our guest this morning is Dennis Neufeld. He's the program director at EPRA Manitoba, recyclemyelectronics.ca. And where do they go? Like, are they just getting shipped overseas, these recycled electronics, and becoming someone else's problem?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we were formed 12 years ago to stop that exact reason. So we're not polluting developing countries. So what we do is, we're lucky, we've got a processing plant located right here in Manitoba. So it doesn't move that far from Winnipeg or anywhere else in the province. There is lots of processing plants across the country, but we're lucky to have one here in Manitoba. So it stays right here in Manitoba.
That's good to know. Dennis, what about where do people go if they want to recycle, they want to get rid of their electronics, their wires, like Brad has his box or drawer of wires? Where do we go to drop these things off?
So the first place you should go is to our website, and that's recyclemyelectronics.ca. You're going to be met with a postal code locator. You pop in your postal code. It's going to give you the five closest locations to where you are and their hours of operation. So it's really easy to find us.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the map now. I just typed in Winnipeg, and there are a whole bunch of options. And a lot of these are convenient. I remember, gosh, 10, 15 years ago, I got rid of an old couple of things. I had like a bookshelf stereo that was no longer of any use to me because it was garbage. And I had a couple of other things, but I had to go to some scrapyard on the edge of the city, and it just felt weird being there. But I see now that you can go to places like the 4R Depot, for example, or Staples or Visions Electronics. You know, there are a lot of places you can go to do this.
Absolutely. There's a bunch in Winnipeg, and there's actually, we've got over 100 locations throughout Manitoba. So it doesn't matter where you're located. Our goal is to be within a 15-minute drive from anywhere within the city of Winnipeg, and we've met that target. And outside of the city, we want to be within a 30-minute drive of anywhere else. And we've met that target as well. So whether you're in Brandon or you're in Steinbach or in Dauphin, we've got all those places covered as well.
Well, Dennis, it is wonderful that people now have so many options to recycle their electronics. And again, I encourage people, head to the website. You'll be surprised at what you can recycle. Recyclemyelectronics.ca. Dennis, thanks for taking the time on this Earth Day.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dennis Neufeld, Program Director of EPRA Manitoba. A couple of things that, Brett, that caught my eye. You know, the old telephones. I'm not talking about cell phones. I'm talking about landlines. There's still plenty of those out there. You can recycle those, as well as vehicle audio systems. So if you have an old stereo from your vehicle.
Oh, like an old deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, maybe that's one of the things I got rid of, because I used to have a couple of Alpine stereo decks.
Oh, look at you with your Alpine.
Oh, man, when I first put that in, that was actually the first thing I ever bought with a credit card.
And thus began
the endless cycle of credit debt.
Yeah.
I bought myself an Alpine tape deck from my parents' Pontiac 6000 LE 1988 Olympic edition. and I bought that and a pair of 6x9 speakers. So, like, it had a decent factory stereo, but this was just a step up. But yeah, I felt so cool.
Well, of course you did.
You know, it had the thing that you could slide, like the removable face.
Oh, hey, those were cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then I eventually went to an Alpine compact disc. I soared into the next millennium with a CD player. It even played MP3s.
You know what? Some of us weren't so lucky, Brett. Some of us had a CD player, the portable that you had to buy the adapter for.
Oh, yeah. One that you had to use that came with like a cassette deck thing?
Yes.
Or a cassette that you had to. Yeah, that was that has to be one of the weirdest adapters to ever exist.
Right?
Like that they figured out how to do that. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
It is 7:47.
We're old.
We are. And we'll have more on Earth Day coming up at 8:05 when we speak with Earth Day Canada. In the meantime, oh, and just one more Earth Day note from a couch potatoes perspective. There's a new nature documentary that debuted on Netflix last week, narrated by Kate Blanchett. It's called Our Living World, and it's excellent.
Okay.
All of these, there's always a terrific Earth Day or environmental sort of series that comes out around Earth Day, and they're always just magnificent, and the footage they capture is unbelievable. And it's pretty cool how it shows, like, how reindeer grazing the ground in the Arctic. So the fact that they graze the ground under the snow allows any further snow to fall to just sort of be like to have this flat blanket, which then creates this gigantic mirror that cools much of our planet, which then ends up regulating the temperature of the ocean and the tropical coral reef. So the point is, without these reindeers, there'd be problems.
Okay, so mind blown. We've got mood pucks and reindeer that help keep the planet stable. Wow, what a Monday.
And Kate Blanchett. She's got an amazing voice. So that's on Netflix, Our Living World. It is McGarry and Kennedy, KK, and for Greg Mackling this week. We'll talk hockey in a moment with Jim Toth, but before that, we're asking you this morning, inspired by these thirsty Brits on a Turkish flight who drank the plane dry. 4-hour flight, they drank it dry in 25 minutes flat. And we're asking you, have you ever been somewhere where they ran out of something? Or have you ever run out of something at home? Whether you were in the middle of cooking or maybe you're hosting a party and you ran out of something important, 204-780-6868. And this listener with an interesting thought as it pertains to your cash.
Yeah. This person says, I'm definitely dating myself, but I remember in the late 80s, early 90s, if you didn't take your cash out on Friday from the ATM, probably in high traffic locations, the machine would be out of money by Sunday. Being a teenager meant that you had no cash for the rest of the weekend, no credit card to carry you over because the banks were just not open on the weekend. Wow.
That's interesting.
It is.
And I guess, yeah, that makes total sense. You got to plan. If you want to get that cash, you got to go get it before it's gone.
Yeah.
So 204-780-6868 for a chance to win some tickets for the Winnipeg Tattoo Show. We'll pick our winners at 9:15. In the meantime, KK, who is joining us now to talk some hockey?
The man, the myth, the legend, the hair, Mr. Jim Toth is joining us now. Jim, are you still rubbing the sleep out of your eyes after last night?
Good morning, both of you, and good to have you on in the morning, KK. No, I'm pretty good, actually. We just had our production meeting, was asked if I'm tired too. I'm not tired. Playoffs are a funny thing, right? Like, they come, and last night was a wild, probably the wildest, craziest playoff game in the National Hockey League I've ever covered. And it's interesting because you have your late nights and your early days, and you're prepping throughout the day as well, and then taking it in, listening to the post game, getting all the quotes. But it's just adrenaline, right? It's much like the players when they say, now I'm not comparing it to the players at all, because that's a grind to get to 16 wins and win the Stanley Cup. But when the playoffs kick in, it's sort of that Christmas time of the year for hockey fans and hockey reporters. So I'm good after day one. Ask me at the end of the week, though, after the 9 o'clock game, and I might be different.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I it's okay to call you at like 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. You have no problem with that one.
Well, you can call.
Yeah, whether you answer is a different story. You know, you just said, Jim, you've never seen a game like that. You know, what were you expecting from the Jets and the Avs last night?
Well, it's interesting. I think the series will go how the game went. And I didn't expect 7-6 at all. But Colorado came out and took it to the Jets for the first 8 or 9 minutes. And then the Jets countered and got the lead back right away. And then, you know, in the first start of the second period, Colorado took it to the Jets again, and they possessed the puck most of the time, and they were gaining the zone way too easily, and that's what Colorado can do. And I'll mention the sixth goal, because although it went in off Hellebuck's mask and his defenseman, there was a mad scramble in front. They pulled their goalie with 2 minutes left, and they're relentless. They come at you. This is a team that won the Stanley Cup in the past couple of years. This is a team that's never going to quit and always going to be coming at you. The Jets have to play their defensive structure and counterpunch, and I thought that's kind of how the series is going to go. I do not think we'll see another 7-6 game, but I don't know that because I didn't think we'd see one last night. But overall, I thought the game was played out how I thought the series would. Colorado quite often had more possession and more of their cycle unit and looking dangerous in a period than the Jets did. But the Jets can counterpunch. And the Jets, if they play their system, and they gave up way too much, they allowed Colorado a lot more easy entries than they did in the three regular season games. So I think they're going to clean some things up. But it's kind of what I expected on the ice. The Colorado did what I thought they could have done. I think the Jets can play better. I think they will play better defensively. But I know that they can. They have way more depth, and the depth came through with the Domestikov goal, and Iafallo had an assist on that. And so that's kind of how I think the series will go, is a little bit of how the game played out.
The turnovers, they were a little scary. MacKinnon is scary. Talk to us about what you think Coach Rick is saying in the locker room, you know, last night, and what he's saying to the guys today.
Well, the turnovers are individual, and what he said last night in the post game, I kind of totally agree with, which I usually do with Coach Bonus, but he said, we got to clean some things up. They asked him what, and he said, well, I'm not going to get into the intricacies, and they asked him which zones, and he said, all three of them. In our own end, the neutral zone and the offensive zone, we can do things better. That's not us. We can get back to some things. And then he said, individually, we'll go over it too. And that's what I was talking about, or what I was meaning when you mentioned the turnovers, KK. I think that there was some nerves involved. Gabe Vilardi said in the post game, he goes, I was nervous at the start of this, but I also had a lot of fun. And I think that's what happens with professional athletes, is it's nerve wracking. It's exciting. It's there's butterflies and everything else. What I think that the Jets didn't do well is what I think they'll clean up, is they didn't move the puck fast enough in their own end. And that's when the turnovers were coming. I don't think the turnovers happened because they were being pressured by a really good Colorado forecheck. It was the turnovers that bothered me, that when they had a little time to think, it wasn't reactionary. It wasn't up the boards. I hate to pick on Dylan Sandberg, but that was a prime example. You know, he had plenty of time to make a different play. It's because he had a little bit of time. I think he was trying to look for more options. That's what happens come playoff time. You don't want to make the right play. You want to make a better play. And it comes from a good place. It comes from players trying to do better things. I think now that the first game is done and they got a win, they'll settle down. I think they'll make better decisions, but I think they'll make quicker, cleaner decisions that get the puck out of their own end a lot faster. Colorado had a great game plan. Their forecheck worked to a T and really put some pressure on the Jets. But the Jets, in many times, had opportunities to make a play and took too long to make it. That's the part of their game I think they'll clean up going into game two.
Our guest is Jim Toth. He is co-host of Jets at Noon alongside Cam Poitras and the host of the Jim Toth Show, weekdays 1 to 3 on 680 CJOB. Jim, our question of the day at CJOB.com for Mr. Furness. Don't call them first. You'll see why. Call Mr. Furness at 204-832-6243. The question is, what did you think of the high score in Sunday night's Jets game? And your options are, they let in too many goals. Scary. Second option is, didn't bother me. Some games are high scoring. And the third option is, exciting, dramatic. I loved it. But six goals, should, I know they, a win is a win, but should we be concerned about six goals being allowed?
Well, as Adam Lowry said, and he was great in the post game, is that I don't think, well, you call him Bones, but I don't think Coach Bonus is going to draw up 7-6 every night, or that's what he wants us to play. So I look at it this way. Like, it was 6-3 and then 7-4. The last three goals were two power play goals, one a deflection, one a screen. And that's another part of the Jets game I didn't like. I thought when it was 6-3 or 7-4, I think it was Mason Appleton got hit along the boards. And when you have a two or three goal lead in the third period of a playoff game, you got to just walk away from that. He didn't. He engaged, and I get that, right? Tempers flare, and you're trying to put your will into game one of what's going to be a long series. But when he took that penalty, I was sitting with Christian O'Malley in the press box, and I said, you can't take that at this point in the third period with this lead. And, of course, they got a power play goal. And then Dylan DeMello in a scramble took a penalty, got another power play goal. And then the third goal, literally with the net pulled, with the goalie pulled, you know, went off Hellebuck's mask, went off his defenseman, and then behind him. So those last three goals, I you know, A, yes, you can't take those penalties at that point of the game, so you can shore that up. But the six goals overall, it's not what any coach wants. I don't think Bednar wanted seven either for Colorado, but I don't think that that's going to be the norm. I think they're going to clean things up and be a lot tougher. I had some people reach out to me that said Connor Hellebuck has to be better. I don't think Connor Hellebuck has to be better. I think those two power play goals, the one in at the end off his mask, you add in, somebody said the MacKinnon one he should have had. The MacKinnon one was off a Sandberg turnover. I don't blame a goalie when his defenseman turns the puck over like that. So when you look at it on paper and you think Connor Hellebuck let in six goals in a playoff game and the Jets are one of the best defensive teams, it doesn't make sense. But if you watch the game and break it down, it does make sense. But you're right in the big picture. They or the Colorado Avalanche can't be letting in four or five goals in a playoff game. It's just not going to be successful overall in the long term.
Brett was just saying, you know, I wonder if Maple Leaf fans are a little grumpy today. Have they canceled the parade yet, Toth?
Well, I don't think they've canceled it, but I'll say this. They will tomorrow after tonight. I don't think Toronto has much of a chance against this Boston team. I thought Boston was pretty clinical. I shouldn't say that. I did say Toronto would win a game or two. But it's a shock that William Nylander was not in that lineup. And I don't know. I don't like Toronto's defense. I do not like their goaltending. I really like Boston's defense and their goaltending. I think the Leafs have some higher-end talent. But much like this series with Colorado and the Jets, Boston doesn't have the skill overall. They have some skill, but the Toronto does. But they are deep. They can roll four lines at you. And I just think that's how you win championships. You don't have to stop all of Toronto's big guns. You don't have to stop Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. You just have to contain them. They're going to get theirs. What the Jets have to do is focus on containing them and then making sure nobody else contributes. And that's much like the Boston-Toronto series is how I see that playing out as well. Is you're going to have to score a lot of goals if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs to get past Boston. It'll be interesting tonight. But, I mean, that parade's been put on hold for how many years now? It'll happen eventually.
Jim Toth, thank you very much, sir. Always a pleasure. We appreciate your expertise and insight.
Thanks for having me, and have a great morning.
Jim Toth is the co-host of Jets at Noon alongside Cam Poitras. And, by the way, on game days, Jets at Noon is being extended to 90 minutes. Or do I have that right?
No, you do. Jim Toth's show will start at 1:30. And okay. It's just because, you know, people have a lot
to say.
Well,
the day after.
Yeah, the day after the game from the night before.
Okay, so Jets at Noon today is going to be 90 minutes, and then the Jim Toth show starts at 1:30. So I just remembered that. You know when you get to work and you're like,
there's something.
I know I'm forgetting something.
Yep.
I'm forgetting something, and that's what it was. It was that note. Got to make sure of when we're talking to Jim Toth to say what's happening with his show. So Jets at Noon, 90 minutes today.
Now Allen has to go back to center for it. Gives it to Olsson. Jets have Howerchuk and Steen up front. Ellett and Olsson are back. Here's Howerchuk, winds to center ice, gets to the King's line, moves to the outside, dropped it off, Allen moves in front, doesn't shoot, goes behind the net. They scored. Somehow the puck wound up in the net.
Do you remember that?
I sounded confused. Yeah, and I'm still confused. Always been confused, Kathy.
Oh, please. The one and only, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets for so many years, Kurt Kielbach, the legendary Kurt Kielbach in studio. So happy you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's been a long time.
It has. It's been 6 years since the last time we had you in the studio.
With Bobby Hull and Anders Hedberg and Ulf Nilsson and Peter Young.
That was a day to remember.
It was. It was and it was interesting conversation.
Both on and off the air.
Yeah, exactly. One thing about Bobby Hull, he calls him as he sees him. And so does Ulf.
Yes.
Ulf, you ask Ulf a question, you get the honest answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't hold back.
No, he doesn't.
Is that refreshing?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, the guy can get in trouble, I suppose, for it. But I've always found it refreshing. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they circle the wagons on you, you can tell usually. And, they don't want to get in trouble with their peers. So it's understandable.
So when we had you in 2018, 6 years ago, and Kurt and I were just talking about how much the world has changed in 6 years, but we had you in, I think it was the Jets were in the second round maybe by that time, taking on Nashville, or were they already taking on Vegas? I can't remember. In any case, the team from 2018 compared to the team we have this year, what's changed? What do you like about this year's Winnipeg Jets?
Well, this year's better. I mean, they've got the depth all the way through, and right from the goaltending on out. And of course, they played that tremendous defensive system that disappeared yesterday, but still worked. And what was it, 18 games or something, where they didn't surrender more than a couple of goals? So yeah, they've got everybody's bought in. I think Rick Bonus obviously has got everybody on the same page. It's working really well, and it's interesting to see how far this team will go because they've got everything going for them.
What are the team's biggest concerns in your mind when it comes to Colorado?
Well, Colorado obviously can score a lot of goals. It's not often you're going to win a hockey game when you give up six goals. But that's been the case all year with Colorado. I think they're the highest scoring team in the league. The Jets, on the other hand, the best defensive team in the league. So it boils down to if you can direct it more to a defensive game, exactly the opposite of what we saw yesterday. Colorado should have won a game that was 7-6, and Winnipeg should win a game when it's 2-1.
Yeah.
But it's sports, so anything can happen.
So how do you like our prospects? If you look down the road, how do you think we are going to fare?
I'm very optimistic about the Jets this year. I think more so than I have been since about 1985. It was the last time I thought they had a really good shot at it. But they've got, they've got world-class goaltending.
Yep.
They've got a defensive system, and when I say system, I mean everybody on a team. And they've got Josh Morrissey. I think he's the best player on the Winnipeg Jet Hockey Club, and I really enjoy watching him play. It's too bad they can't play him 60 minutes.
I'm thinking he may have an issue with that, but, you know.
Kurt, what was your reaction before the season when the Jets made that announcement that caught a lot of people off guard when they announced Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuyck on the same day were coming back?
Well, obviously, it was a great announcement and a great event for the Winnipeg Jets. I think a lot of people were expecting considerably less from the team this year. Some people forecast they wouldn't make it into the playoffs, but then they made a definitive statement that they were in to win it when they signed those two to those huge long-term contracts. And I think it's more the long-term side of it than anything that means a lot. And so these guys are committed for 7 years. That's a pretty good nucleus. And now they're building around, and they've got... You know, Cole Perfetti is sitting in the press box, by example. That's pretty good depth.
Yeah.
So the prospects are good. And they tell me that the people on the farm and the people coming up through junior that they've drafted are all pretty good hockey. Everybody says that all the time, of course. But I have a tendency to believe them this time. And, the future looks great.
You've been around the game for so long, Kurt. You know what makes a good hockey team. And so I ask you, what makes a good team?
Well, you're going to have leadership, for one thing, and they've got that with Adam Lowry and Josh Morrissey and everybody. And they've got to have a belief in a system, and I think that Rick Bonus has helped to instill that. You've got to have ownership that you're confident in, and they do that. And you've got to have a backing in people, and I mean, where do you get greater backing than here? Look at the whiteout. It's got to be tremendously exciting. And I wasn't surprised that the Jets were outshot as much as they were in the early going yesterday because it's intimidating. To the visitor, it's more of a turn-on than it is to the home team because the home team is pumped naturally.
Yeah.
The visiting team might be a little bit tentative until they walk in there, and then the atmosphere takes over. I always thought that going to Chicago Stadium was an advantage to the visiting team because of the atmosphere in the building. Well, the atmosphere in a whiteout is more so than that, and I think it takes a while for the Jets to settle down. They get a little nervous, yeah. And it showed in the early going.
Wow.
What was your greatest moment in Jets 1.0 history, Kurt?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, there were a few. I mean, obviously, they didn't achieve the playoff pinnacle that people wanted to have, but I think there were three that stand out, and one was the rookie year of Dale Howard, Chuck. This kid comes along at 18 years old and just tears up the league and got over 100 points, and it looked like the sky was the limit, and it was. And the other was, of course, the 1985 team that I sincerely believed had a good shot at winning the Stanley Cup. And then Dale Howardchuk, the same player, got hurt in the first round. That was a part of it. But also the Edmonton Oilers are pretty darn good then, too. And the other was the most exciting season, in a way, had to be the year that Teemu Selänne scored 76 goals.
Oh.
I couldn't wait till he got on the ice. You expected a goal every time he took to the ice, and he often delivered. And nobody has scored 70 goals since Teemu Selänne and Alexander Mogilny did it that year. And they each got 76, so it was fun, and he scored, seven goals in two games to eclipse Bossy. It was just everything revolved around that kid that year, and everybody was excited by it.
And he was such a nice guy on top of that.
Yeah, you charismatic and accommodating. Well, he got in trouble in Toronto because he would not refuse an interview, and he would not refuse an autograph. So we were in Toronto, and he didn't show up to the hotel till 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a game day.
Oh.
He missed the team meal. John Paddock was, I saw, John Paddock was standing there waiting for him when he came in and absolutely tore into him. And he should have. The coach should have in that situation because the kid was just too accommodating. And so what happens, he goes out there and he played a terrible hockey game.
Oh.
And this was right after he had scored 9 goals in 3 games to beat Bossy's record. So now you're in Toronto on a Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. Everybody's focused on number 13 of the Winnipeg Jets, and he was a no-show. He didn't even play in a third period. He was benched.
Wow.
It was because he'd spent the whole morning
being Mr. Nice Guy.
Being Mr. Nice Guy.
All right. I mean, everybody knows the voice. They know your history with the Winnipeg Jets 1.0, but maybe some people aren't aware of what has transpired after 1.0. One of the things you did was wrote an incredible book called 2 Minutes for Talking to Myself. I mean, greatest title in the world, right? Where did the idea for the book come from?
Well, it was just something that came over time. We'd be talking like we are now, and I'd tell a couple of stories, and people would say, you should write a book. And I never thought I would. And then, I had to do I did a show called Remembering Our Jets that was carried on a small network, and I had to write an editorial for each of the 13 episodes we did, and I saved them. And then one day I was looking at them, and I thought, I got more stories than that. So I just started writing. And the next thing I knew, COVID came along. I had nothing better to do. So I just kept writing, and suddenly I realized I had a couple hundred stories there, and okay, I'm going to do it. And and it's out there.
And out there to much fanfare. Just quickly, by the way, available Amazon and the like?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's still available at Amazon and McNally Robinson and Chapters and Friesen, where,
Okay.
Yeah, call me.
Yeah, call Kurt.
I made a mistake. I made a big time mistake. I didn't realize how books worked. I went and bought more copies than I care to mention because I thought I was the supplier. Then I found out, I'm the supplier with McNally Robinson and with the Jets Gear Store and that kind of. But I'm not the supplier with other places like Chapters. They go through a middleman. So all my books are useless. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I got several hundred sitting at home. So call me. Yeah, I'll give them away at a fire sale price.
2 minutes.
I just got to dump them.
2 minutes for talking to myself. Listen, one of the other things you have been doing and dabbling into on top of your writing skill and your voice prowess is acting.
Well, yeah, that's that kind of came about by accident, and I think maybe that sun has set, but who knows? Last year, I got a call out of the blue to do a bit on a movie called Psycho Killer. They're fun. They're a lot of fun, and I might push a little bit to try to get back into it a little bit more. But for a while, I was taking some acting classes, and then COVID came along, and they were all canceled. So I haven't actually tried anything like that for a while, but it was fun. I'd like to do it again, and particularly the movie Goon was a lot of fun to do. And then, I did one called My Awkward Sexual Adventure, and I'd like to tell people it's not about me.
Oh boy! So you're saying you may be stepping back after a role like that from the acting world?
It's a hard act to follow.
Yeah, right.
He is best known as the play-by-play voice of the Winnipeg Jets 1.0, Kurt Kielbach. What a treat this has been. Thanks for coming to see us.
Oh, great. Anytime. Enjoyed it.
You know what? We'll have him back when the Jets, you know, head into round three.
Okay.
Round three. It's a date.
Okay. It's a date.
Not superstitious at all. Already calling it.
I'm calling it.
And I love it.
Texts are coming in. People want to buy the book from you. So,
All right. Thank you. I'll give you a commission.